Please turn with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I use that last command as my title this morning. Think on these things. Think on these things. This verse is really a library. It is a single study upon the verse, but it is a library. It speaks volumes. One study cannot exhaust it. But just a few words of introduction before we briefly look at it. This is, my friends, the hallmarks of Christian thinking. The hallmarks of Christian thinking. It's all elaborated here for us. Simply said, by inspiration. But you see, this is also the perfect will of God. People ask sometimes, how can I know the will of God? It is all here before you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, you cannot pick and choose. Everything, everything that is commanded to us is to be obeyed, is to be done. So not only the hallmarks of Christian thinking, not only a library, a spiritual library, not only the perfect will of God, but this is also, when you look at it, the shortest biography of our Lord. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? You can take every one of the adjectives spelled before us here. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ is true. Christ is honest. Christ is just. Christ is pure. Christ is lovely. Christ is of good report. Christ is virtuous. He is excellent. Christ is praiseworthy. So all the eight elements here could really be applied and put on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So by inspiration, Paul is giving us the recipe to have a spiritual mindset. My dear friends, do you realize, maybe some people, not yet, no, I'm not speaking just among us here, but generally speaking, they don't realize that Satan aims at your thoughts. Satan aims at your mind if he is able to capture, to captivate, to invade your thoughts, to invade your mind. Then he has defeated you. So that is why the mind is really the key when it comes to Christian life. Sordid thoughts, malefic, demonic, satanic, and evil, wicked, intrusive thoughts, day after day. You cannot hide. If you want, you hide. But those thoughts will still come to you, and they will try to capture your mind and captivate you in your daily walk. It is thought that the average person has 15,000 thoughts a day. Just think about it. Oh, that brain. Your brain is made of millions and millions of cells who are interconnected between themselves with thousands and thousands of other cells. Multiply 15,000 thoughts every day to your age now. Oh, that is a lot. That is a lot. That is why this verse is telling us you are what you think. The Lord Jesus Christ said, your mouth speaks of what fills your heart. So in the same way, oh, your life, your conduct, your behavior is also influenced by what comes into your mind. So that is why, again, we need to be put into action. And this verse is calling every believer to be active, to be active. Clean or clean up, mop, sweep, dry up, put in, put off, input, output. This is the daily strategy, the daily actions you need to put into your life and into my life in order to protect my thoughts, in order to protect my mind. And we know, we read it in Isaiah 55, the Bible says that the mind of God, the thoughts of God are not our thoughts, but the beauty of it. When a person is saved, for a believer, we read it in Paul's letters, that as soon as you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given the mind of Christ. You have been given the mind of Christ. You have that mind. You are a Christian. Your mind does not belong to flippancy. Your mind does not belong to every wind of doctrine that comes. Your mind belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he saved you for that renewal of the mind. But you see, the passage here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, is not only telling us those things, but this is like Christ telling you and me, have more of me. Whatsoever things are true, have more of truthful things. Whatsoever things are honest, have more of honest things in your lives. And all of them, not just part of some and not part of others, all of them together must be your daily garment. This is how you saturate your mind with heavenly things, with spiritual matters. But one last just word or sentence on this before we look at the verse. My dear friends, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the greatest of all commandments? When you go back to the Old Testament, there is something Christ has added which was not there. Oh, it is his law. He can expound it. He can explain it to us. The greatest of all commandments say in the Old Testament, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your will. But something Christ has added, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. Love him more. Serve him more. With your mind. You see, this is rational way. It is an active way. There is no anesthesia. It will happen passive and God will do it to me. No, I have to be involved and God will act with me. But look at the verse. It's here before us. Finally, brethren, he's speaking to believers. To believers. Those who have repented and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word finally there, if you glance very quickly to chapter 3, verse 1, he said the same there. Chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren. So when he says finally, he's not saying in conclusion, I'm coming to the end of what I have in mind. No, that is not the meaning. Finally here means for the rest of the matter. There is more to say. Finally here means, let me sum it up for you in this way. So whatever Paul has said so far from chapter 1 up to this verse, it is like he's saying, let me concentrate it for you. Let me put it, sum it up. Let me capture it for you. Let me telescope it for you in just one verse. Whatsoever things. Oh, my dear friends, the whatsoevers of Paul, six of them. But again, if you allow me this morning to say, there are eight of them. Eight of them to help us. This is virtues against vices. This is light against darkness. But this is also, in this verse, you have holiness against insanity. You have purity against absurdity, the absurdities of things in this world, incomparable, unparalleled with heavenly things and spiritual things. So, as I said, there are 8 things listed. I will do my best just briefly to touch each one of them, because one study really couldn't do justice to this great verse. Whatever you are going through this morning, in terms of discouragement, in terms of being demotivated, in terms of being invaded and bombarded, assailed with thousands and thousands of evil thoughts, this is the remedy. This is the key to lift you up before the living God. The first one, Paul says, whatsoever things are true. Truthfulness. Trustworthiness. That is really the word here. And it is in opposition, I anticipate. You can put all these eight virtues into the negative, and then maybe their explanation and their meaning will even shine before you, each one of them. Oh, what is the opposite of truth? Lies, fraud, falsehood, deceit, distortion. These are all the opposite of being truthful. But to be truthful is to be sincere. Oh, how much we need sincerity in our Christian walk, to be sincere before the Lord, to have a good conscience before the Lord, to have a good conscience before man, to be sincere in my home, to be sincere in my work. Oh, to be truthful means to be real, a real person. It means to be spiritual. It means also to be reliable. Am I a reliable person? Or there is a doubt? Will this person appear? Will this person come to the services? Will this person fulfill the service he has committed himself to do? To be truthful is to be a reliable person. My brothers and sisters, set your mind, set your heart on truthful matters. Thy word, John chapter 17, verse 17, thy word is true. The Bible is paralleled or compared to the words of truth. The gospel is the gospel of truth. Christ himself in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, the God we worship, the God we believe in. You know how he's called in the Bible? The God of all truth. Which means, Titus 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. Satan is the father of lies. And that is why, when you go back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan in the body, in that shape of the serpent came and put doubts in her mind, the first thing she should have said, is this true? Is this true? That is the challenge for us in our daily walk, every day. I don't just take in every information. I don't just take in any view, any opinion, any ideology, any philosophy. No, I have to put barriers. I have to filter what comes into my mind. I have to stop, put in, put off. Input, output. The mopping should happen. Clear out the everything, the table. My brothers and sisters, every one of us, and I'm saying this to myself, I should ask myself daily, am I sincere or am I just a versatile, volatile, ambivalent person, shallow, shabby, and just looking at things superficially, or I want to look at things deeply, as a husband, to be a deep person, as a wife, to be a deep person, as a child of God, as an employee, as an employer, as a citizen, as a neighbor, to be a deep person, truthful person. That is the first thing Paul is putting before us. Think on whatever is true. The second, as I said briefly, we need to go through them. The second, whatsoever things are honest. The word honest there, we could also translate it by the word honorable, noble, noble in opposition to based or debased. Noble and honorable and honest in opposition to vulgarity. Look for something splendid instead, something noble. Oh, my dear friends, think about our world. Not many things are honest in our world. So that is why you have to nourish your mind with things that are elevated, high and holy and pure. Nourish your mind with things that are worthy of your attention. I ask myself, should this really get my attention? Should this book, should this movie, should this item, should this person, should this sermon get even my attention? I should ask myself. And honorable, to be honest means look for things that are respectable. Respectable. And when you look into our world, you will see that not many things are respectable. And don't be a double person. It means be dignified in your words, be dignified in your thoughts, be dignified in your speech, be dignified in your manner. If I could add, be dignified in your mannerism. Don't play the fool around. Be dignified in all that you do for the Lord. Don't be a double person. That is to be a hypocrite. Being someone here and someone else there. To be mature, to be perfect, is to be whole, is to be complete, is to be one person. Oh, my dear friends, we could really spend, as I said, the whole day on each one of these. Rejoice in the Lord, but be serious. You see, dignity and gravity are not antithetic. There is no dichotomy between gravity and dignity. When we speak, when we preach, when we relate, when we witness, there must be seriousness in all what we do. Look at the movies. I don't know how many stars they give for a movie to be really commendable or recommendable, but there is nothing inspiring. There is nothing majestic in those things. Look at the bestsellers books. They are sold millions and millions of copies. There is nothing honest. Nothing honorable in them. Run away from them. Filth sells more than honorability. It is sad. It is sad. I was saying last Sunday, you remember, we live in a shameless world. No more shame. The third one, Paul says, whatsoever things are fair, that is the meaning. Whatsoever things are righteous. You know the God we believe in the Bible? God is called, God is just in all his works, in all his words, in all his ways. Christ is called the just. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he is the just. Who are we? The unjust ones. But he is just. But he made us just by repentance and faith. We become the just ones, the righteous ones, the justified ones. God justified those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure every believer knows this verse by heart. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive you, but also to cleanse us from all our iniquities, all our transgressions. So to be just is a quality of God. God is just. And my dear friends, we are surrounded by injustice everywhere. We are surrounded by unrighteousness everywhere. Lies, dishonesty, unfairness. But the Christian, the believer, should always treat other people righteously. I must come to the fourth one. Are we together? The first one, whatsoever things you do in your life and in my life, let them be true. The second, let them be honorable, honest, noble, dignified. The third, be fair, be just, be righteous in all that you do. The fourth one, look at it in verse 8 there. whatsoever things are pure. Purity in opposition to defilement. Bible says, Paul says in one of his letters, flee immorality, 1 Corinthians. Flee immorality for every believer. Flee moral impurities. You know, the world is selling us impurity and immorality free of charge without telling us the exorbitant, the colossal, and astronomic price you have to pay later. The brainwashing these things are bringing in our lives. The world is selling us insanity and violence. It's hard to look anything without insanity or violence nowadays. Shamelessness. The people, every second word they are saying, they are swearing. Hard to listen to a conversation while they are celebrating, flattering one another in all their telenovela or series of whatever they might provide to us. It's all junk. It's all garbage. But this is how Satan is captivating. Satan is sending all his demons to capture our minds. And this is why the Christian, oh my dear friends, I hope you don't mind. This is just an exhortation, not pointing a finger at anyone among us. But you have to remember that purity is a quality of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, God's will for you and me is sanctification, holiness. That is what God wants for us. You know, the violence and insanity we see, these things, Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, they have to be reproved. They are the works of darkness. And still, in that chapter of Ephesians 5, Paul says, these things should not even be mentioned among saints. In James chapter 3, we read, the wisdom of God is pure. Our Savior is pure. The Word of God is pure. Blessed are those who have a pure heart. Matthew 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our Lord was truthful. Our Lord was honorable. Our Lord was just. But our Lord was also pure. He was perfect. No stain, no spot on him. Everything about the Lord is perfect. But look at the fifth one. Whatsoever things are lovely. This is one of my favorite English words, if there is a choice. Lovely. When somebody says something is lovely, it means he's saying this is coming from God. Because every beauty is from God. Whatever motivates you, whatever moves you to beauty or to love, comes from the God of all love. James chapter 1, verse 17, we read, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Every good. When you see beauty, don't say, oh, nature is beautiful. God is beautiful. God is lovely. And that word lovely is only here in the whole New Testament. That's why we need to use many words to explain that word to you. Lovely means amiable, pleasing, pleasant, lovely, loving, lovable, gracious, charitable, endearing. But it means also attractive. It means wholesome. It means winsome. But it means also awesome. Oh, God is awesome. You know, you read in Song of Songs that the Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. You read in Psalm 133, behold, how sweet is the unity of the believers. How good and sweet the church of Jesus Christ in worship and in service before the living God. That is lovely. Preaching the gospel of redeeming grace. That is lovely. The good works of a believer, that is lovely. Maintaining good works, that is lovely. I must come to the sixth one. Whatsoever things are of good report. There are many things in this world that are not of good report. Gossip is not of good report. Slandering others is not of good report. Swearing is not of good report. We live in a world, oh, my dear friends, I'm sure many here know that more than me. The fake news, the intoxication of news, these things are not of good report. So make sure in your mind that you fill your mind with good report. The word of God is a good report. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. That is of good report. Preaching the gospel of redeeming grace, that is of good report. Witnessing to non-believers about that grace, that is of good report. Don't let yourself be consummated or absorbed. Some of us are absorbed with what is happening in the world. That opinion, that view there. Oh, I need to be updated on this and that. No, I don't have to be updated on anything. I don't have to keep updating myself about that blog. Oh, I need that. I need that social media. I need that one, that platform, that post. Otherwise, I wouldn't sleep well tonight. My dear friends, I am nobody's follower. You know, they are proud that you are among their followers. And they are proud to say, I have 1 million followers. Follow no man. Let no man be your master. Let no man be your guide. Christ said so. We are brothers and sisters between one another. You know what is the best blog? It's here, the Bible. The Bible. It doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be popularized. It doesn't need to be publicized here and there. It remains forever the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. This is the blog. You want to be a follower of someone? Not a man, but the followers, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our calling. You see, that's why I didn't mislead you from the beginning. I said, this is a library, this verse. It solves all our problems and the problems in the world we live in. The two last ones, look at them. Paul says, now I could put even that word, whatsoever or whatever is of any virtue, mental virtue, moral virtue. You know, the word virtue means excellence, excellencies. Look for excellencies, more, not mediocrity, not shallowness, not superficiality, but look for virtue. Filter all what you hear in this world by the Bible. That is your filter. And Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Listen to sermons that not just fill your head. Sometimes a believer may say to me, that sermon convicted me. Good news, but you remain there? What am I going to do now? Conviction, just conviction, mental conviction, because you heard the sermon is not sufficient. I must do something about it. That is why we move always from knowledge to action. Listen to sermons that will bring transformation in your life. Sound, healthy sermons. Not going through this blog, that blog, or this internet site, or that internet site. The word of God we hear in our local church should be sufficient to build us up in our most holy faith. And the eighth one, we could also put there, whatsoever things are of any praise, praiseworthy, deemed worthy of praise. You know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? To bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting away all imaginations. Casting away all imaginations. My time is over, but may I just give you a good application here? Look at the last part of verse 8. Paul gives us that command. Think on these things. Reckon on these things. Take into account these things. Meditate upon these things. Search your heart on these things. My brothers and sisters, you know your heart and your mind is like a garden. What you sow in it, this is what you reap. And may I say, our world in terms of nutrition, in terms of diet, is telling us have five a day of this and that. Here are the spiritual eight a day. And if you allow me in my small mind to say, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Compared with Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Compared with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about love. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Whatsoever things are of any virtue. Whatsoever things are of any praise. Whatsoever things. If these things are in you today, this coming week, the rest of your life, and they abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are in your life, you will not lack an avenue of service. It's impossible, because I will be thinking right. I will be doing the will of God. I will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mind will be pure. My mind will be separated from the world. Think about what you think about. Behind every word, there is a thought. When you are alone, watch your thoughts. In your home, watch your temper. In public, watch your words. This is an old wisdom, actually. Watch your words. The Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, died on the cross of Calvary to do what? Not just to save us, not just to take us into heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and forward, to renew our minds. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world and the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things are not from the Father. They are from the world. Just think about it as I close. Paul was in prison. He could have thousands of reasons to complain, thousands. And I'm sure many doubts were assailing him in that prison as he is there with chains on his feet, chained to two Roman soldiers in a Roman prison. But this man says, whatsoever things are true. But look at the outcome, verse 9. Paul gives us four verbs. And those four verbs are to move you from thinking to action. Don't remain just thinking about these things, but do them. And look at the verse. The command, think on these things, and in verse 9, here are the four verbs. That those things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. Four or five times in the New Testament, Paul says, be my imitators. This is a man who did and lived what he preached. Learn from Paul, not from the world. And look at the outcome. He said, if you do these things, not just the peace of God will be with your mind and your heart, but he says in verse 9 that the God of peace shall be with you, your whole being, not just the heart and the mind, but your whole life will be surrounded by the presence of the God of peace. Read later, Isaiah 26, verse 3, God will give you that peace. He is the God of all peace. My peace I give unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. Oh, my dear friends, Christ said he will be with us. He will make us to feel that we are his own. But Christ will never dwell in a place where there is garbage, where there is junk. Do these things, and the God will give you assurance that you belong to him. That inner tranquility is a great incentive to ponder on these things. This is how we honor the Lord. Please, what will you be thinking throughout this day? Oh, think on these things. Meditate on these things. Stand on these things. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Thy words, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, may the Lord bless his word in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives.